Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello.
Good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon.
I hope everybody is ever so well at 3 o'clock this afternoon, where that's UK time. So today here in indeed sunny Ramsgate, and it's not windy today, which is a change. We've actually had probably thousands of tons of sand washed away from our beach. So you can see the footings of the sea wall, which I haven't seen in the nearly three years that I've lived in Ramsgate. So today is a lovely, calm day.
Yesterday, it was so beautiful outside. Here we are in mid-December. I nearly had lunch in the garden.
Woo!
Woo!
How lovely.
And I just thought, do you know what? Well, that's a bit jaunty of me. But actually, that
jaunty?
Yes, it's jaunty.
Yes.
It's grabbing these little moments that do matter.
But oh, indeed.
Anyway, over to Clara, who's going to outline what we're covering today.
Well, today we are touching upon areas that we have indeed spoken about before. But we're going to be talking about how you can access ways of being that will help you to transcend all kinds of difficult situations. And my recommendation is to become familiar with how it feels to be your very best self.
Now, this is a wonderful juncture at which I can jump in.
Go on, Rosie.
Too many J's there. But just to say, one of my lovely opportunities to put in a quote, the greatest creation is yourself, and it's all in your hands.
And in your head, actually. So what we say to ourselves can actually enable us to feel completely capable and powerful, confident, or your very capacity to say negative words can actually just render you completely unable to do what you would really like to do.
That's so important, Clara, because obviously being an anxious person, we've talked about that in the past, but once you become aware of the language that you're using with your own thoughts, you are telling yourself your own thoughts,
yeah.
Then you become aware and more in control of the very direction of your life, let alone the thoughts that are going through your head.
Absolutely. Well, they say you are what you think, and they also say there's another maxim, which is you are what you eat. And the interesting thing is that how you eat very much reflects upon how you feel. Because when you're feeling your very best version of you, you are much more likely to be making good, healthy food choices, and you're not going to be wanting to eat so much. So if you find yourself to be a sort of perpetual snacker, it's a very useful thing to become aware of how you're thinking at the time you're turning to food.
What about lobster and caviar, though?
Well, I suppose it depends how often you eat lobster and caviar. But if
I
your
can't
fridge...
just have one lobster, I have to have the 10.
Do you?
No, there's this range of crab claws that Waitrose have started doing, and it's healthy. But too much of a good thing, Clara, can be a bad thing in the end. So what you're saying is...
It's not too bad, too good. It's not a bad thing, though, to be, you know, being aware of
how
the very best version of you,
yes,
would respond. Because the very best version of you isn't somebody saying, hey, I'm the biggest, I'm the best, I'm the most spectacular person on earth. It isn't. Actually, being the very best version of you actually depends upon you knowing how you would behave in any situation as your calmest, your most resourceful, your most strong, really, in your thinking. Because actually, if you think strong, you will be strong. If you're actually thinking feeble I can't. You know, I'm so useful, kind of thoughts. And in fact, that creates a biochemical change, and it actually renders you much less strong than you might be otherwise.
Now, that's absolutely critical, because in our discussions just prior to going on air, we reflected back on some of our other episodes where we talked about the best version of ourselves. And I had said to Clara, you know, Clara had asked me the question, what's the best version of yourself, Rosie Wall? And I had adorned myself in a gold robe descending a staircase. And at the bottom was everyone I adored worshipping me for either achievements or something that I had done career related. But actually, in discussion and on reflection, I think it's actually, just as Clara says, it is a point of reference that you need to go to in your mind. You know, you can be happy and content at any point, providing you're telling yourself the right thing in your mind. Is that right, Clara?
Yes, and choosing to focus. So let's look at how people very frequently function.
Okay.
So, I mean, right, typical for so many people is that actually most people aren't really aware of where they are in their day, or sometimes when they're journeying, you know, if they're traveling. I mean, I'm guilty of it myself. I have driven lengths of distance in my own, you know, whilst being in my own head. And then I get somewhere and I think, oh my God, were those traffic lights green? You know, I wasn't aware whether there was anybody on that zebra crossing and stuff. And admittedly, at the time, I was extraordinarily depressed and stressed after a bereavement. And so maybe if I was more aware, I might not have been the best person to drive. As it was, I hadn't mowed anybody down, which is fortunate. But we can eat our food and not be aware that we've eaten it. Suddenly the plate's empty or the snack finished from your hands. And the only reason any of those situations are happening is because you were not in the here and now at each moment of the here and now. So what is most typical is that people are rushing around. They're focusing on what has to be done next, or fearful of, you know, what's happened or what might happen in the future. And whenever you find yourself in the situation when maybe you walked along the street and you have not noticed where you're walking, you haven't noticed the people that you've passed by, you have not been present. And actually, it's a sad state of affairs, because then you're actually not being present in your own life, and your own life really is what is existing right now. So there's an enormous importance about being present and choosing what you're thinking.
I'll just jump in there, Clara, because I actually think that word is critical. Choice.
Oh, choice.
Now,
we have...
I'm just reflecting on my life. If I could put an absolute marker on what I feel I would like to think of as having been a successful life now, it is the ability to make the right choices, to be surrounded by people who are nurturing and loving enough to show me appreciation for me having been alive, for me having been sweet, supportive, comforting. The idea to me that I had made choices in my past, possibly, where I was never appreciated, makes me think that other people might be making those choices too. You need a clarity of thought. You need a keen connection to your own self, and a sense of pride in order to make the right choices, to be around the right kinds of souls. I'm only saying that now because, as you know, I'm no stranger to tragedy. And that was said in my very best dramatic voice. Mm-hmm. Do you like it?
Yes, very good.
No, I don't look terribly impressed, actually, but there we go. I think it's really, really important to know where you are at in your mind space at any given time, because otherwise you are subject to making the wrong kind of choices and surrounding yourself with the wrong kind of environments and people who perhaps don't value you or cherish you.
And also, I mean, to interject at that moment, Rosie, what's incredibly important really is because the words that we say to ourselves are, right, sure, they may be a symptom of where we may be, but the way that we're learning, so many people are very detached about the way they feel. So they are not aware when they are anxious of what is happening in their physicality. They're not aware of the fact that maybe they're breathing very shallowly and quite fast. They're not aware of the tension that they have in their shoulders, their neck, maybe their stomach. And perhaps the only time that they become really aware is when they then have something called an anxiety attack, which makes them feel that they cannot breathe.
That's hyper-aware.
But critical awareness. But then that sort of, and the fear that you're going to die.
Fear is critical. Can I jump in with another quote?
Please do.
I'll tell you what my quote is this time. It's all about our self-perception of ourselves. We accept the lives that we think we deserve. So this is coming back to the concept of thinking again. Mm-hmm. You know, we all have a cast version in our mind. We talked about this on our earlier shows, mm-hmm. didn't we, about the version of ourselves. But I suppose what we're saying is you can re-evaluate all the versions of yourself. And one of my key philosophies in life is adapt. And mm-hmm. And obviously adapt and evolve in the right positive direction.
Flexibility is key to good mental well-being. And so it is really very important to actually find out what your core values are, actually. Finding out what your core values is terribly important, because very often when you're feeling physically uncomfortable, the physical feeling is an expression of the fact that your core values are being challenged, diminished, demeaned in some way. And your physical response, which may be tension, may be that you're breathing very shallowly, maybe that actually you're slumping, because typically when you're feeling not anything other than your very best version of you, you will be anything other than actually how you would be feeling at your best, which will be taller, will be relaxed, will be deep breathing, will be very effective, will be confident. So all of those things are part of your very best version of you that you absolutely know. And so when you are just keeping going, paying no attention to how you're feeling, you're not giving yourself the chance to choose your better version of you, which then helps you to sort of clamber up to an ever more effective and healthy version of you.
I think the difficulty is, and I don't know if ladies or any gents out there can relate, is that if you are so immersed in any particular context, like the stresses of work, or right now, as we were just talking about it earlier, out there Christmas shopping, you know, desperately worrying about what you need to provide for other souls the whole time,
and whether you can afford it,
and all those kinds of issues stuff. And those external things that do happen to our lives, of course they're going to affect the way accumulatively we perceive ourselves. And of course we are all given handfuls of disasters to deal with in our life, but the issue is, how do we manage that, and how well connected are we to our thought processes in order to make those adaptions, in order to say that we move through that and actually maybe even learned and, you know, we can pass on to others.
And so I have a tip for helping you to become aware of how you're thinking so that you can make the choices that you want to be your more effective, content, confident, best version of you. And so my tip is to set a reminder. I'm going to call it a reminder.
Oh, lovely.
Because typically most people, when they're not feeling their very best version of themselves, are feeling alarmed. So we won't call it an alarm on the phone. You can set a reminder. And I would start off with, you know, if you were to set yourself a reminder, say, 4 times a day, and set yourself something nice. You can either have a lovely vibration that makes you feel particular.
Or a jingle.
Oh, something that's lovely.
Or something you like yourself.
Something that is your choice. It might be a cat purring.
Ho, 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 ho.
It might be a cat purring.
Lovely idea.
Or it might be if you've got, you know, something that you, or a child's laughter or something. You know, because little baby laughter is something that is just, for most people, would make them grin from ear to ear.
Yes, an associative positive thing.
So you set your reminder, and then you see when you that reminder goes off, it gives you the opportunity to take note of the words you've just been saying to yourself. Are they positive or are they negative? Are they about what you're currently doing? Are they about what you're currently observing? Or are they about some fictitious time? Because anything other than what is right now is a fiction. It's not real. The future is unknown and so not real. So there's no point in really worrying about it. And the past is no longer real, and you're only remembering what you remember of it, which is a perception of it, which is not necessarily the reality of the moment.
Can I just challenge you on that last point, Clara? Because I think others, you know, they might have the same thoughts in relation to that. Being no stranger to tragedy, I get a T-shirt printed with that on. Our reference points for everybody is an accumulation of life experiences.
It is, I know. Yeah.
And so, you know, moving through and just perpetually staying on the positive and trying to say, well, the future is out there and it's going to be nothing but better, when the past is providing a lot of statistical information that is, you know, that has built up to prove that actually that might not be the case. Are you suggesting, what are you suggesting in relation to those kinds of concerns?
Well, I mean, right. We've all gone through life and we all have our histories, but we are not our history. We are only what we do right now. And if we take the best actions right now, we can only improve our future. So by choosing to be positive, by choosing to choose positive thoughts. So actually, can I just go back a bit?
Yes,
because I hadn't quite finished with what you're needing to observe when your reminder
goes off. Oh, when the jingle goes off. Right. Yes.
You need to be aware of actually where you look. You're looking, for instance. Are your eyes cast down? Because if so, you're trapped in feeling. You're not actually, when you're trapped in feeling, you're very much less likely to have positive options that are available to you. How are you breathing? Take note of how you're breathing. Are you breathing shallowly? Are you breathing fast? Are you not breathing? I've actually was aware of a long-term memory. This was many years, quite a number of years ago, and remembering this person who was a major part of my life, and actually being aware of the fact that I was not breathing whilst I was thinking of, in fact, it was my mother. And I realized how terrified, that actually I was terrified of her. And I'd never really realized that.
Yeah.
And I was 30 years old. And so being aware of actually how you're breathing is absolutely key, because it's important that you can then choose, oh, right, now just take a nice, deep, slow breath.
I'm sorry, I've got the image of Woody Allen breathing into a brown paper bag. You know, breathe, breathe.
Yes.
But actually, you know, I won't interrupt you. I'll carry on with this thought a bit later on.
But it's also about your posture.
It is. I would like to say humour is so important as well in a positive mental attitude. And the only thing that has carried me through my rather dramatic and awful life thus far is my allegiance and alliance to the closest people in my life, my dear friends, and the sense of humour. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh, it's so critical. Perhaps we're all, Clara, I don't know what you think about this, but are we taking ourselves too seriously?
I think actually there's an element of that, indeed. I do think, and that's because we're spending more time in our own head.
Right, right.
You see, spending more time in your own head is typically not going to get you the best answers, you know, because typically you're only going to get your own answers.
But how can we manage our thoughts if we're not continuously in our heads trying to direct the traffic?
Right, then just relax and breathe slowly and deeply. Okay, so part of the awareness that you're needing to have is to actually notice how you're holding yourself, whether you're tense, whether you're relaxed, how your posture is, how tightly you're holding yourself. Because once you realize, you know, whether you're saying negative words to yourself, whether you're running yourself down, whether you're just noticing the litter on the pavement or some graffiti, or, you know, that there are weeds in the garden, or that the children are being noisy if it's in the classroom or whatever, actually you're not only you're noticing what is wrong, and that actually has a biochemical, a negative biochemical impact on your health, well-being and effectiveness. So at that point, once you've just, and this is sort of like a really quick body scan, this is not requiring you to dwell on any aspects of what you've been doing up to that moment. It's just a quick notice of where are your thoughts, past, present, future, whether they think positive or negative, whether your body, what your posture was, how you're breathing, really, really quick. Not enabling you time to judge where you have been. And then you exert your ability to choose.
Choice.
Your ability to choose how you would be being your best version of you. And your best version of you will be actually choosing to say positive words to yourself. To breathe slowly and deeply. To stand tall. To look outwards, you know, outwards, straight in front or slightly above, so that you're actually accessing your creative abilities. And so, if you manage to choose to do that, you know, so, and ask yourself a question. Sometimes people get so stuck, I don't know what else to think. And you just think, what would be a better thing to do here? Because if you ask yourself a question, you're opening possibilities. You're opening your mind to think of something different to what you have been thinking up to that moment.
In educational terms,
yeah,
I think I've spoken about this before because I'm quite repetitive, but we have something called metacognition, which is thinking about thinking and the
thinking
process.
About thinking about thinking.
Yeah,
about
indeed. Well, we've talked about that. and that's actually really important to understand that you are in control of your thoughts.
And then you're in the wonderful thing about that is that actually you transform your life as you actually take charge of your thoughts, because it is only you who is in charge of your thoughts.
We do have. It's really important. I love discussions about thinking, because we do have, all of us have random strange thoughts, but we don't act upon all the random strange thoughts.
Yeah, you can enjoy the pleasure of them.
And they are variable, you know. So the critical thing is to understand about the thinking processes. You are the one who is directing your way, navigating your way.
Director of your own life.
I like that. Director of your own thoughts, director of your own life. Mm-hmm. A dream without a plan is just a wish, Clara.
Yeah,
and so this is planning for how you can make your best version of yourself come alive, how you can make those dreams happen. If you put your mind to it on a daily basis, have this mindfulness that Clara has beautifully outlined for us today, with a little tinkle reminder set on your phone or however you want to do it. It's absolutely all in your hands.
Absolutely. And that actually is just what's so exciting about living, really. It's sad that, people, men and women, and children can feel that they have either no idea what they're wanting to do next, or where they're going to go, or whether they have any capabilities or not. And every single one does. And if you're asking yourself those kinds of questions, then actually the thing to do would be to reword them, instead of saying, do you have, whether what kind of capabilities, it depends, because it's also the intonation. You can actually contemplate the way that you say things. So if you say things always with a downward turn, so that everything, the note, the tone of the voice goes down at the end of the question, it's sort of like a statement. Whereas actually, if you ask some, so what am I capable of? It's actually different. So what am I capable of? There's such a difference. Same question, different intonation, and one opens doors by moving upwards and actually considering what can you do. And actually, because every single one of us are still here on our mortal coil, and we have such great capabilities, and we are we're survivors, because otherwise we wouldn't be here.
I like that so much. I like to think of myself as having gone through the Bear Grylls island of life, perhaps in psychological or emotional terms. I know the physical aspects of it wouldn't be too clever for me, because I wouldn't do very well by that. But I really do feel like a survivor. I really do. And actually, we all are, whatever stage of life that you are currently at, whatever phase you're currently in, look what you've survived. How amazing are you?
Indeed.
It's really important to think of it in those terms.
Indeed. And then actually to become perhaps an enjoyer rather than a survivor. So I think that actually really choosing to be aware of, just play with, all kinds of situations. Well, how would I deal with this? Rosie is a teacher, and I've been working with somebody who's a teacher who's extricating herself from that profession, because, as I don't know whether people are aware, the statistics on teacher stress are huge. But focusing on choosing actually your best version of you can help you deal with any situation infinitely more resourcefully than if you just immerse yourself in stress and feeling a victim to that moment. You are not a victim. You can choose, by choosing to choose the very best version of you.
And that may be to leave whatever context you're in, or change or adapt your life, but you must be mindful about who you are and where you're at
any given moment.
Point.
And so we're coming to the very
darling
end
ladies
of the
and the odd gent.
Yeah. So anyway, we hope you've enjoyed listening to us.
Thank you for tuning in. How lovely of you.
If you have any questions, please do write in to info@makethatdifference.org.
Or Santa.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, so let's end that episode. And we're going to end that.